Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
So it was about 10 years ago, my family, we were going on holiday, and we were doing our first, like, real vacation. And what I mean by that, like, it cost money, you know. We were actually going to Disney World, you know, everyone's dream, go to Disney World. And I remember, like, we saved for it, and it was kind of fun because my daughters were, like, in that stage. Like, they thought all this stuff was, like, real, like, really cool seeing that moment. And I had one of my friends, he prayed for me, and he said, Andrew, I pray before you go on this trip. If it rains every day, you guys still have the best time of your life. And I said, get behind me, Satan. Like, I've been saving money. Like, and hey, we had sunshine every single day. It was beautiful. And the reason I was reminded of that, recently we went down to Esperance, which is in the south of Western Australia, one of the most beautiful places that you could see. It is majestic. The water is as clear as can be. You know, it's just unreal. And we've been there before, and we were going again, and guess what? It rained every single day. And it was 40K winds. And these aren't normal winds. These are like Antarctic thunderous winds that are piercing your soul. And it was just like this. I was just reminded of that. I mean, we still had fun. I still destroyed my girls in like phase 10 and board games and all kinds. Yeah, they actually beat me quite a bit. But like, we had to make the best of it while all of our friends were back home in Perth sitting at like 35 degrees, chilling at the beach. We're like losing our tan. You know, we actually came back a day early. But it was a trip that, like, if it was going to go wrong, it kind of did. Like, we got a flat tire on the way down, and my spare, like, was so old that it, like, separated the inner lining, the outer lining. So when we're down there, I had to get two new tires, spend money that I didn't really want to spend. And so we, as a family, we were walking to a jetty just to chill, have some time. The car was in the shop, and I got a text, hey, time to go pick up. So I'm headed, as I was about 2K walk over to the tire shop, and as I'm walking there, I see a church on the right, which is called Freedom Church, Isaiah 61, and it said ACC Church. I was like, oh, they're part of the fam. So this church intrigued me, and so I go in, I'm like looking in the windows, like they got all like shut, like a kind of a small auditorium. I'm going around looking in here. It just looks like nobody's there, but I have this unction, like in my spirit, to inquire more. I had this unction to check this church out. So I actually walk around back, and it just looks like it's dead as all get out. And all of a sudden, I see a car. I'm like, oh, someone's here. Knock on the door. And out comes this old lady, this sweet old lady. And she said, yeah, may I help you? I think I startled her a little bit. And I told her, hey, I'm a pastor. I pastor with ACC Church. And yeah, just seeing if there was anybody here, thought I'd say hi. And she says, yeah, come on in. And then she goes, can I get you a tea? Why don't you take a seat and what's your story? And in that moment, I'm like, my wife's going to kill me. Like, because she's waiting, but I can't resist an old lady, you know? So I sit down, and I'm telling her my story. Then she tells me her story. Dude, she travels 200K to go to church. 200K. And here's why. She only comes to this church once a month. She was leaving a Bible study because the pastor got sick. She's dealing with some health issues. So weekly, she travels 200K to lead this new Christian's pro. Like, my heart was so moved for this woman. And the reason that she would come is because of a, sorry, my phone is turning. The reason she would go was because the freedom that was in this house. And she was telling me how she helps out with, sorry, let me take my watch off. I forgot to silence my phone. Usually I don't get rings, but I'm on a different time zone right now. And so in this, she's talking about how she works with the indigenous community where she is, and she's telling me how within that community, they don't have poverty of money. Money is there. There's money. It's actually a poverty of spirit that she feels called, and she was a nurse, and she's just telling me, like, so moving my spirit as we're talking, and all of a sudden, I get this sense. I said, hey, would it be okay if I actually went and prayed in your auditorium? Like, would you be right with that? She's like, absolutely. So I go into the auditorium of this church, Freedom Church, and what kept on stirring in my spirit, Lord, what you've done in this church, will you do in me? Like the freedom that you've released in this house. I believe in impartation. I believe in honoring what God is doing. And I begin to lay on the ground and begin now to cry out to God, saying, Lord, the freedom that's in this house, release it into my heart. And as I was on the ground, snot, tears, and all, like, I left my mark in that place. He just began to pour out freedom in my life. And I just knew this year there was a deeper level that he was inviting me into, a deeper intentionality. Guys, in that moment, I could have missed it. In that moment, I could have kept going because I knew my wife was going to be waiting on me. Like, I had to go pick up the truck, but I felt this unction in my spirit. How many times do we pass up moments with the Lord? If you look at the life of Jesus, he would always be going to a place, but all of a sudden he would see something. And all of a sudden, he would lean into the intrigue, lean into the Spirit's leading, and he would see the greatest miracles. What if the greatest miracles are on the other side of us just stepping out in obedience unto the Lord? So it was interesting, as I was in this room and crying out to the Lord, just such a sweet moment just with me and him, all of a sudden, I'm like, what's Isaiah 61? It's like, I cannot think of that scripture. I'm like, I'm sure I've preached it. I'm sure I've read about it. I'm sure I've taught on it and read over it. But like, I could not think for one second what the passage of scripture of Isaiah 61 was. And I was like, oh, I wish I had my Bible. And I went in the back of the room. I found a Bible. And I opened the Bible to Isaiah 61. And I read this scripture that I'm getting ready to read to you out loud. So I just want to, in a way, just release a moment, even if you can close your eyes in this space, and actually just begin to open your heart and open your spirit. As we don't read the word for knowledge, we actually read the word of God to encounter the living God that actually brings transformation. Guys, there's a transformational moment of encounter any time that you come in contact with the Word of God. Lord, we honor your Word today. It is living. It is active, Lord. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. So Isaiah 61, if you could close your eyes and receive. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. For he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities and the devastation of many generations. And as I began to release this word, it actually took me about 10 minutes to get through it because I couldn't get through a verse without the anointing of the Lord hitting me so hard. And I just began to release and I began to prophesy and I began to proclaim the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Thank you, Father. So what I want to do just for our remaining time, I want to actually take a deeper look into this passage. And I felt like this is going to be, for me, a year that I continue to come back to this place. And it's interesting because I feel like what can happen sometimes when we read this passage or hear this passage, we could read it as first person. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and He is. But this is actually prophesying about Jesus. It's actually a prophetic word about the one to come. And I love in this moment in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is in his hometown in the synagogue, and he opens up a scroll, and he just so happens, by coincidence, to open up right here to Isaiah 61, and he reads out, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," because he has anointing, and he goes on and shares the year to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and then the dude goes and sits down. Like, he just sits, and everybody was going, "Whoa, did you feel that? Like, did you see what I saw? Did you hear what I heard? Did you feel that authority? Did you feel that anointing that was upon him?" And then Jesus says, "The scripture has been fulfilled in your reading, in your hearing." And I love that, because that actually means full stop, complete, final, finality in Him. You see, my concern for the church, if I could have a concern over the last 15, 20 years, I feel like we've made it more about leaders rather than about Jesus. That we've actually made it about more about anointed leaders rather than the anointed one. And how's that gone for us? What has that produced? What train wreck does that build into? And what has happened, we have glamorized anointing that is upon man. And what does that mean? Guys, there is an anointing upon my life, but it is a missional anointing. It is a positional anointing. That just as David was anointed to be king, that was for a season and a time and a place. See, there's positional anointings that are on your life. But many times we'll see this missional, positional anointing, we'll go, "I want that." Let me just tell you, you don't want anybody's anointing. Like, you don't want my anointing. You don't want Ash. You don't want Pastor Steve. Like, you're like, again, those positional anointings, and we begin to, I would almost say, like, idolatrize anointing that is upon man. And I don't undervalue or undercredit. There's a place and a purpose. But guys, you cannot have my anointing, but you can have the anointed one. You can have that. And listen, it's about Christ in us. It's the anointed one in us. And that is what you can have. See, my concern when we make it so much about our anointing, it will only get us so far. Like, we can operate on that place, but we make it so much about me being the anointed one. There's many things it's almost like we could do without Jesus. And also we're doing all this stuff in reliance upon man rather than a dependence upon God. And what does that produce? Worn out, burnout, tired Christians going through church, volunteering, angry, bitter, like, get out of here. Like, come on, let's get past that. But when we actually, Jesus says, "My burden is easy, my yoke is light," that's actually us coming to the anointed one. The reason I could speak on that, guys, I was a tired, burned out pastor saying, "Lord, if this is it, I'm done." Because operating under an anointing that was upon me, separate from the anointed one. And I was trying really hard. Like, I was trying to share the good news. Like, have you ever tried to bind up a broken heart? Have you? Yeah, I have. I spent 15 years trying to help my dad. I spent 15 years making a drug test in front of me, like trying to bind up his broken heart. Like, we could go through trying to set the captives free, opening the prison door. Like, we could try really hard, and we can see some cool things. But can I tell you, it's not your job to bind up the broken heart. It's His. It's the anointed one. It's not your job to set the captives free. It's His. But when we actually are His hands and His feet, or let me say it like this. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And do you know what the Christ means? The anointed one. You are the anointed one, Jesus. And Jesus replies, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven who has revealed this to you. And upon this rock, Peter, upon this, I, Jesus says, will build my church, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know what binding and loosening is? It's an undisputable authority that is beyond yourself. It's Jesus building his house. So what does that look like? And this is the funnest time I've ever had in church. And this is what we're seeing with our Perth West crew. As we minister to the Lord and we let him be the lead minister in the room, he's doing stuff. He is building his house. The gates of hell are not prevailing. We're seeing the binded hearts come together. We're seeing the captives be set free because we're not operating on our own dependence. It's actually Jesus building his house. And it's upon this. I always used to wrestle with this passage. Peter said, upon the Christ, I will build my church. And it's upon the revelation that God's going to use Peter, but it's actually Jesus is the anointed one. You know, when I was visiting with this lady, she's like, we're sitting down. She's like, hey, I could actually call the pastor and have him come up here and you can meet him. And interesting, I was like, no, I'm good. I was like, I really like you. I really love what you carry. And I could tell that she walked in the glory of God and in prayer and secret. Guys, sometimes I don't look at what the platform is doing. I actually look for the Christ in them. And so at the very end, I came out of the auditorium and I said, hey, is there anything I could do to bless you? And she said, yes, you could fill up these urns of water. You know, my wife says I don't work out for nothing, you know. And so I would love to help you. So I filled up these urns and I said, would you mind blessing me by actually praying for me? And she said, I would love to. And also, if you'd like, I could even have the pastor come up. And I said, no, I'm good. I see you and what's in you, in Christ in you. And she prayed for me. One of the most beautiful prayers is the Lord just began to do such a deep work in my heart. And I want to come here today to say, I honor the platform, but I honor you in this room. I honor Christ in you in this room. And do not underestimate the word that Ashley released and the importance in the kingdom of God. We have put such an importance on influence, but God, he looks for impact. And Melbourne South, you are meant to have impact in this city. In prayer, he's calling you to a higher place. He's calling you to a deeper level of confidence, of walking in him and speaking out things with authority. He is actually calling a proclaiming to come out of this house to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He is putting a mantle upon you, and it's big and it's strong, and the world might not applaud, but you will have the attention of heaven upon you. And things that you pray, you will see with your eyes unfolding. You will see it begin to happen. There's authority that God wants to release upon you, and there will be influence that you carry. But he says, I want you to find impact as a greater value than any form of influence that you may have. It's a year of proclamation. It's a year of intentionality. Thank you, Father. You guys with me today? Am I making sense today? Thank you, Lord. This is what Jesus does. I'm telling you, it's the most freeing thing in the world when you realize I can't bind together a broken heart. I know a guy. It's Christ in me. He can. There's like the pressure is off of me to try to do everything, and he actually does it. So Jesus has a role in the church, and this is what I love, what he does for you and I. It goes on to say, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beauty for their ashes, And he comes and he gives oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Now let me ask you this. If you've been walking in prolonged mourning, if you've been walking in a prolonged faint spirit, can I ask you, are you really coming to Jesus? Now, I don't share that at pointing a finger. And I also don't underestimate maybe what you've been through in your life. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you're in a season of a prodigal son, or there's a diagnosis. Like, there's actually reason for mourning. There's reason for a faint spirit. But do you know what that actually means for you? All the more that you need to come to Jesus. That maybe your frequency needs to be more of coming to him. Because when you come to him, do you know what this says? As a matter of fact, I will give you comfort for your mourning. I will give you an oil of gladness. If you come to me with a faint spirit in doubt, and what does this season look like? I'm in transition. I don't know. My fear spirit is beginning to get faint. If you come to him, he says, I will give you a garment of praise. It was earlier this year, I was having my time with the Lord. I'm a morning guy with the Lord, and I love my word, and I was reading through the word, and I was in Genesis, and I saw Noah, he built an altar unto the Lord. Then I saw right after that, Abraham, he built an altar unto the Lord. And it was interesting, in my time with him, in my spirit, I actually saw him coming up to this altar, and I saw incense rising up unto the Lord. And then in that moment, I saw myself at that altar, and I heard the Lord say, morning, noon, and night will you come to me. Morning, noon, and night, Andrew, will you come and will you build an altar and let incense arise unto me? And in that moment, I said, yes, yes, and yes. So this year is a year that I come to the Lord morning, noon, and night. Now, I'm a little hesitant to share that on the basis of that being a measuring stick. Because some of you are like, dude, it's been like a week since I've had my time with the Lord. And this dude's doing morning, noon, and night? Good Lord. And some of you in this room might be like, dude, I do morning, noon, night, afternoon tea, morning tea, like, look at this guy. You know, like, it's not a measurement, it's an invitation. And so what I felt from the Lord, and I don't feel condemned if I'm not doing morning, noon, and night. I don't feel a slap on my hand. And actually, it's the 21st right now, and there's been 2 days that I've actually been able to do morning, noon, and night. That's the aim. We're getting ready to start the year in February. I'm kind of holding off to that, you know. But it's a time, and here's what I feel like the importance. It's not like a style, because I'm not you. You're not me. But actually, the Lord is trying to teach me and equip me to come to him more. I'll walk with the Lord. But actually, a greater level of dependence. And also what I feel like, what got me to this point is great, but he's actually inviting me into higher places. And it was at the end of the year, I heard the Lord say, I said, Lord, is there anything you want from me? And I heard the Lord say, Andrew, I want devoted, not distracted in this year. So I began to cut out many things in my life, actually, where now I have a space to spend morning, noon, and night with the Lord. But it was actually David, and here's what I'm going to say. It's hard to be depressed when you're coming to him morning, noon, and night. It's hard to be in a place of mourning when you're actually coming to him continually because of what he does in our hearts. It's hard to be in doubt when you're continually coming to him and what he deposits into your spirit. So morning, noon, and night, and it was David that would come to the Lord 3 times a day, I believe, morning, noon, and night. And David, what did he have? He had strategies from heaven. He understood what God was doing and how to release it unto this world. That's what I feel like my biggest invitation is from the Lord and my reasoning of doing that. But even what I love, when the enemy came searching for him, where did they find him? They found him before him in his secret place in prayer. You see, in Psalms 55, it actually says, thank you, Lord. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. evening and morning and noon. I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. And he redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many arrayed against me. And it goes on to say in verse 22, cast your burden unto the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved like that mighty oak. Guys, you might be in a season that you're coming to him and all you have is actually a complaint. All you have is a mourning in your spirit. Can I tell you that can be greater worship than your praising him in your good moments? Like coming to him, Lord Jesus, he says, cast your burdens unto me. Guys, he died for those very things that you are carrying. He carried to the cross the very things that you are carrying right now. So this morning, noon, and night is not about a time. It's not about a place. It's about coming to him because he is the one that is the lifter of our head. He is the one that releases strategy. He is the one that will build his house. Are you with me today? He gives us beauty for our ashes. And it finishes with, he's building his house. Here's what he does for you and I. And it goes on to say what we do. And I love this part. He said, you will be like an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Our life is to glorify him. What we do in season, out of season, what we do in secret, that he may be glorified. And it goes on to say, they shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And it goes on to say, but they shall be called priests of the Lord. They shall speak to us as ministers of our God. And there they shall boast in the glory of the Lord. And it says, I will give them a double portion. So what does that mean for you and I? Is actually when we see devastation, I'm your boy. When we see devastation in a family, I'm coming. When we see ancient ruins that are broken down, let's rebuild. When we see prayer that is down here, we're saying, God, we need to rebuild the walls of prayer. We need to pray dangerous prayers. We need to live a life that's built upon prayer, that we build our house. We see those ruins down. Hey, let's rebuild the ancient walls. When there's devastation in our city, we don't cower back. That's what we're meant to do, and come and pray and prophesy. Guys, things are birthed out of prayer. Let's rebuild the ancient ruins. See, what I feel one of the callings in my life is to actually reform the church to be about Jesus yet again. Not about the stuff, not about the lights, not about the atmosphere. Let Jesus build his house again, because I've seen the church and I've seen the ruins that are taking place, and I want to rebuild it back unto him. Whatever you see, if there's devastation, let your spirit begin to quicken, saying, I'm your boy, I'm your girl, let's go. Let's rebuild what he is doing. If I could have the ministry team. Thank you, Lord, and the worship team come forward this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you just close your eyes this morning. Ora papa ye. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ora shatara papa papa ye. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I just want to take a second before we kind of get into some space to let the Lord minister. Just to turn our heart and our attention unto him, the author and the perfecter of our faith. to turn our hearts and our attention to the one that is worthy, to the one that is building his church, the one that laid his life down for you and I. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our eyes are set upon you. Lord, we declare that you are worthy. Lord, we declare that you are worthy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.